أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد، صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الروح وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما.
صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. وأعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين وأولاد الحسين وأصحاب الحسين. I don't know whether I need to apologize or not, but still I'm just being nice and apologetic that unfortunately this time in this trip it happened that from the first day that I arrived in Sweden, as you might have noticed, that I had a flu, and now the symptoms of the flu, running eyes and nose, has stopped, but it seems that it's getting to my chest. Inshallah it won't be serious. I said that the way it's going, I'm afraid by the end of the week I won't have any voice to even talk, so I have to speak the silent language. Let's see how we go, inshallah. Christmas is approaching, and the jurisprudential part of my talk, I want to touch very briefly on, my time is really very limited, on the issue of Christmas and celebrating Christmas and New Year Eve and stuff like that. Long story short, first of all, rest assured that even according to eminent and renowned Christian scholars, Jesus Christ was not born in December. So what you hear predominantly among most Christians celebrated on the 25th of December as the birthday of Jesus, this is just an agreement. You know, the Western calendar is called Gregorian calendar. Do you know that? Do you know why it's called Gregorian calendar? Gregorian was a bishop, alright, in the 12th century AD. And since then, this calendar that still in the West we have is introduced by him. Because in the northern hemisphere, like where you live, the longest nights were towards the end of December, and they wanted to celebrate. And New Year for them was the night of celebration, chucking a party, drinking and all the thing. They wanted to choose a night over the year that has the longest night, the longest hours, therefore the longest opportunity for them to have a long party at night, which would work best as what we have it now, the last day of December, Christmas or New Year Eve, that as we call it. So if you know a little bit of astronomy, you know that that night is the longest night, the day is the shortest, and the night is the longest. After that, again, it goes reversing. So they chose that as the following day as the beginning of the calendar, so that we can celebrate the New Year Eve in the longest night. Now, at the same time, remember, especially we are in the 12th century AD. We are talking about the Christian community predominantly. Now, we want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Lord Jesus, so to speak. So, Gregorian came with an idea that we agree to celebrate the birth of Jesus on the 25th of December, 5 days before the New Year Eve begins, so that we have not only one night of celebration, we have a week sort of celebration. So 25th of December was by agreement to be celebrated for the birth of Jesus as Christmas. Otherwise, if you go to the New Testament, the book of most of the Gospels, they have it, but particularly what I remember, Gospel according to Matthew clearly mentions that when Mary gave birth to Jesus, the sheep were in the pasture. And even if you haven't been to Lebanon and Syria, the area, Palestine, all those days it used to be called Palestine, you now have an idea that December in Palestine area, the sheep are not in the pasture. It has to be so. The way that we see it, it's more likely, and even I told you that the eminent Christian theologians, they agree on even on that, that most likely Jesus Christ was born sometimes in June or July, in summertime in Palestine area, not in winter definitely. Even when you consider and when you see what Quran says in Surah Al-Maryam, that Sayyidina Maryam, salamullah alayha, she was under the tree, the palm tree, although that palm tree was dry, and miraculously they started dripping the date, but the fact that she delivers the baby under the palm tree, whether that tree was alive or dead, it shows that it could not be in winter season. All right, it's not yani acceptable for a pregnant woman to be outdoor. You think that she will be staying indoor. So putting all these things together, rest assured that 25th of December is not really the birth celebration, the date of the birth of Jesus. When is the date of the birth of Jesus? Nobody knows. According to Christians, nobody knows for sure. So much so that some even liberal authors, they have questioned they doubted the reality of that person as Jesus Christ ever existing. Of course, as Muslims, we definitely disagree with them, but I'm telling you that historically cannot be easily, if at all, proven. Now, even if we say that 25th of December is the Christmas and are celebrating it as Christmas, please remember that attending celebration of Christmas or having a Christmas celebration in a sense is permissible for us if it's just like celebration of the birth of the Prophet, the celebration of the birth of the Imams. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. Quran says that we distinguish not between any of the Prophets. For sure, we believe that Jesus was, of course, sometime born. If we have any date about his celebration or choose any day to celebrate his birth, so be it. What we disagree with is the sins associated with it. Drinking, dancing, partying, and things like that. Now, can I have a Christmas tree at home? It looks nice, Sheikh. What's wrong with having a Christmas tree at home? My kids, they love it. The answer to that is that why do we have to always be a follower? Yes, technically speaking, purely jurisprudentially, to have a Christmas tree, nobody can say it's haram, all right? But why do you always want to follow? It's just because it's nice. Why don't you have something and come up with something for the birth of the Prophet? Especially as Muslims, minority, Shia, living in this country, you also introduce a new culture. Remember, brothers and sisters, each and every one of you, you are the ambassador of Islam in this country. The Almighty God had the wisdom, had the reason to bring you here. Most of you are second generation migrants, I suppose, isn't it? So remember, play your role as an ambassador of Islam. Even if you are a revert, you are not born in a Muslim family, and now you chose Islam as your religion, again, you are the ambassador of Islam to your family. Introduce a new culture to them. Isn't it that, well, I know that in Australia, I suppose Swedish people would have the same taste, that they say, I'm bored of Aussie food, always fish and chips. They like to try different cuisine, different types of dishes and food. All right, you tell them that I want to introduce a new culture to you as well. Taste it, try it, and see. This is an Islamic culture. See if it makes sense to you or not. Don't be a follower, all right, on Christmas issue or things like that. Especially now, someday they tell me that, especially reverse, usually they ask this question, that it's a family time, that family members get together, I'm expected to, they give me a gift, or can I buy them a gift? By all means, there's no problem. As long as the gift that you receive or you give, of course, is not a haram gift, what's wrong with that? your mom, dad, sibling, they give you a gift, you give them a gift, that's not a problem. But New Year Eve, unfortunately, because I just assume, correct me if I'm wrong, please. New Year Eve is the time for them drinking, especially Christmas usually is not that much. Family gathering, maybe they have, but New Year Eve is the time that they really get drunk, isn't it? Go to the city, in Australia is like this. They go to the city, they get drunk, and subhanAllah, is the time of sinning. So association with this type of people, to go to the city, do you have any firework here? Is there any firework? Yeah, I need to go to the city and mingle with such type of people at that time of the night, midnight. Yani, what's happening? Just because they have decided that midnight, it will be year 2014. What's the big deal about it? And I have to really stay awake until then, and I go to the city, mix with all drunk people, just because we want to see something. Please remember that we have your, and by the way, you still will be in the morning time of Abu Abdullah Hussein. It will be in Safar, in the month of Safar, I suppose. So, alhamdulillah, the spirituality of Karbala and Imam Hussein alayhi salam should keep us away from a non-Islamic culture. All right? Salam ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Sometimes when they are showing some movies that is not appropriate for certain ages, like under the age of, for example, 16, they put a warning in the beginning. Or horrified movies and things like that, they put a sign that, like, we advise that this movie is a little bit scary, and therefore for certain people, if you have a heart problem, pregnant ladies or children, elderly people, don't watch it. The lecture tonight is something like that. So already a disclaimer and a warning that be careful. If you're type of a person that you are scared of a scary movie, this lecture tonight is not for you. Alright? But the fact is that whether you like it or not, it's not a movie, it's a reality that I want to share with you. The topic that I have, inshallah, just to touch on it, and I'm deliberately picking up topics that are really fundamental issues that I'm just trying to my very best to share some, keys with you that you can use them later on, inshallah, to open so many doors, bismillah. The topic for tonight, therefore, is about the destiny of death, about my death, your death, and everybody's death. The topic for tonight is about the reality and inevitable. There is a surah in the Quran that is called Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Al-Waqi'ah means an event. The Almighty God says that if there is an event that there's absolutely no doubt about it, anyone with a quarter of brain will acknowledge that there is an event that there's no doubt about it, and hence it's called Al-Waqi'ah, event. That is the issue of death and the consequences after death. All right. It's so confirmed, this issue, and undoubtable that the most atheist people even cannot deny it. From my experience, if you want to open a discussion with an atheist, a Swedish atheist who says that I don't believe in God, I'm absolutely atheist, instead of proving to him the existence of God, prove to him the existence of life after this. That's how I've taken it. And the start of the discussion will be like this, that, mate, do you have any doubt that you are mortal? You're gonna die one day? What sort of question? Of course I'm gonna die. You have no doubt, huh? They say that in this country's tax and death are inevitable. Even if you are so smart to avoid tax, you cannot avoid death. Okay? So on the issue of death, we have no disagreement? No, definitely. Amazingly, even Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, where God wants to prove his existence, proves his existence with the topic of Ma'ad. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. Isn't it amazing? God says, how can you disbelieve in God while you were dead and God brought you back to life? And again you die and God again will bring you back to life. Do you see? Proving the existence of God by showing them the issue of death, bringing that issue that there is no need to even be philosophical about it. Al-Waqi'ah, and inevitable. So certain that Quran again says, that wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqin, worship your Lord until yaqin comes to you, certainty comes to you. All mufassirin have said that certainty, yaqin here, it means death. Yani worship God to the end of your life. Why death is called al-yaqin? Because this, if there is in this world, there is one unanimously agreed certain issue, is the issue of death. Do we agree on that? Okay. So it's so important, if you want to have a sound discussion with a non-believer, start with the issue of death. Then you can relate and you can make sense to him. And take it to the issue of after death. I have done this, and he says that, well, how do you know there is something after death? So how do you know there isn't? Show me a scientist who has discovered life after death and said that, look, I went there, there was nothing, don't worry, relax. Science has no idea about it. The farthest that they have gone, even if scientifically can be proven, is what they call it near-death experience. I don't know if you've heard of this expression. Near-death experience is just like we are talking about an eternal world. Imagine that you are talking about an ocean, that somebody says that I might have touched that ocean with the tip of my finger. This is how much the knowledge I might have about it, if it's proven even. Subhanallah, of all the divine books, scriptures available to us on earth today, the Holy Quran is the only book that has the richest information about life after death. Almost one third of the ayat of the Quran deal with life after death. Compare it with the knowledge that the science of today has brought for us. Almost nothing, and here we have one third. That means that we have almost 1,600 plus ayat of the Quran dealing with life after death. What a treasure trove we have with us. The style of the Quran, you know that the way that it's compiled at the moment is not the way that it was revealed to the Prophet. The last chapters, the last surah of the Quran were revealed to the Prophet first. We all know that. The last parts of the Quran are among the very early ayat that were revealed to the Prophet. Now you know that if you're familiar with the Quran, most of the ayat towards the end of the Quran are talking about what? Ma'ad and life after death. Why? Because God was talking to who? Idol worshippers, disbelievers. So even this is the style that the wise God is taking, that to make sense to these non-believers, I have to show them death and the consequences of death. Life after death, then they acknowledge me as their creator. Nahj al-Balagha is the second book that we have in Islam. Almost impossible. You just randomly open Nahj al-Balagha, that Imam Ali alayhi salam gives a lecture in any of his sermon, and he doesn't touch on the issue of death, al-al-mut. Notwithstanding that some of the sermons of Nahj al-Balagha are dedicated to the topic. There is a sermon, sermon 221. That one of the Sunni, famous Sunni interpreters of the Quran, his name is Ibn Abil Hadid. He's a very famous historian and interpreter of Nahj al-Balagha, Sharih Nahj al-Balagha. He says that, by Allah, I have read this sermon for the last 50 years of my life, at least 1,000 times. And I tell you that every time I read this sermon, I have a goosebump. How Imam Ali is touching me. How his words is touching me. Alright? I have taken some of my students to the cemetery in Sydney and read that sermon and translated it with a bit of explanation. Sitting around the grave in the cemetery, it makes a big difference. Time to time, if you are too happy, you may be surprised, you know, hearing these things, but consider it. In your wedding night, if you don't go to the cemetery the following day, go to the cemetery. You can make a better vow between you and your spouse. Because the fact is that one day we're going to end up being here. Okay? When you are very much depressed, when you feel that everything is against you, financially, family-wise, you name it, health-wise, again, pay a visit to the cemetery. You see your condition still is better than those who are buried in the grave. All right? So, whether we are too happy or too sad, death and the remembrance of death is a stabilizer, is stabilizing our mood to keep us balanced. That's why I'm sharing with you, touching on the issue tonight. What can I do in this limited time? Just touching on the issue, and I really urge you, brothers and sisters, see, I'm giving you some quotes. Later on, I hope that you go home and you spend some time, read that sermon of Nahj al-Balagha 221. Enjoy it yourself, for yourself. Alhamdulillah. As when a Sunni scholar says this about Nahj al-Balagha, our book, aren't we supposed to have read it more than him? All right. The issue of death, I told you that is inevitable. Yani no one can avoid it. No one. I told you that I've taken my students as an excursion. Here, do they take students as an excursion to cemetery? I doubt it. They take you to museum, they take you everywhere else, but not to cemetery. Doesn't matter. Let an Islamic center arrange an excursion. Go to a cemetery, as we've done it. And I asked the boys, girls, I said that, go and come back with the youngest deceased and the oldest deceased in this cemetery. Do you know who's the youngest? In English, we call them medically stillborn. Stillborn is a baby that is born dead. His mother or her mother delivered the baby dead. Now imagine how much more opportunities you and I have had compared with the stillborn children. You and I could be one of the stillborns. Isn't it? And the oldest, God knows. And go around, you will see boys, girls, men, women, sheikh, chef, I usually say. And death, an angel of death, doesn't care how old or how young you are. Okay? That's why we should be always be prepared. Islamically, brothers and sisters, it's recommended to have your will, your final will, always ready, handy. I usually keep it, you may be surprised, I usually keep it on my desktop. So that anything happens to me, my family, they don't need to search it's available, it's easily available. And please, I'm sharing this with you, not just because I want to scare you, show you a scary movie tonight, so that you have a nightmare tonight when you go home. No, the wisdom behind it is important. I'm sharing this fact with you, for those who care about themselves, for those who want to really counterattack this culture of secularism, those who want to counterattack this culture of shaitan penetrating in me, taking over me, for those who want to spiritually build themselves, dhikrul maut is one of the best reminders and one of the best teachers. If you don't have any speaker, if you don't have any scholar, if there is not enough Islamic, occasions, programs for you, alhamdulillah, you have this issue of death to dwell around, to ponder upon time and again, and you can self-motivate yourself spiritually. Islamically, it is therefore recommended that when you, tonight when you go home, if you really mean business, I told you that, I assume that middle of the week you are coming here, you mean business. Alright? Otherwise, it would be more comfortable to stay at home. Now that you've made an effort to come here, let me tell you, please complete the job. This is your assignment for tonight, not tomorrow. If you postpone it for tomorrow, you don't take it serious. Your assignment for tonight, you go home tonight, spend some time, 10, 15 minutes, write down your will if you haven't already. Sheikh, I don't know what to write. Do you have any salat, qada? Write it. Sawm, fasting, hajj, write, homes, whatever. These are the issues between you and God that you have write it down. And then, if you are married, write something, a piece of advice for your wife. A piece of advice for your husband. If you've got children, a piece of advice for your children, no matter how young they are. Even if you have an infant, write it for him. Because remember that you're going to die tonight. I'm sorry, you have to go tonight. That's the news I have for you. Salwa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I'm not lying. So many people like you and I, living healthy, supposedly. Last night they went to bed and never woke up. Who knows? Do you have any guarantee that you're going to go to bed and you wake up tomorrow morning? I don't. And I'm sure you don't either. That's the truth. That's a bitter truth. Now, because every night I go home and I sleep and I wake up in the morning, I've taken it for granted that of course I'm going to get up, I'm going to wake up. Not necessarily, my friend. Quran quotes in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, and he says that there are certain people that once they die, and man mata faqad qamat qiyamato, the moment that they die, the resurrection day will be upon them. Put him in the grave, and he's freaking and says, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. Ya Allah, return me to this world. Hopefully this time I do better. Quran, what does it say after that? كَلَّا نَي. Impossible. No matter how much you cry, your family cannot even hear you. Once they put me in my grave, as I'm talking to you, last year that I was here, my mother, rahmatullah alayha, was alive. Now, soon it's going to be her annual anniversary. Please send the salawat to her soul and all those who No matter how much we love mom and dad, once we bury them in the grave, we are staying around the grave for a while. No matter who says that I die for you, nobody dies for you. Rest assured, nobody dies for you. They stay around your grave for a while, reading dua, ziyara, and then life goes on. Life goes on, my friend. Unless you and I have done something for ourselves, for when we are buried in our grave, nobody cares anymore. Nobody can do anything anymore. Even if they do, what difference is going to make to me? Because everyone, as Ayatollah Hassanzadeh was saying, that there is a tablecloth after we die that everybody has to eat from his own tablecloth or her own tablecloth. Whatever food that you have brought, sit and enjoy it. You didn't bring starvation. Sorry, there's nothing else anyone can do for you, normally. There are some exceptions that, or like salawat that you say, no, help her a bit. But the actual help is from the person himself or herself. Tomorrow is Laylatul Jum'ah, and Layal al-Jum'ah will come. Instead of writing in my will that, yani, read dua kumail for me, every time you have dua kumail, read it and send it for yourselves. Ya Allah, this dua kumail, I'm just saving it for my Laylatul the first night that I'm buried in my grave. That's a very horrible night. My dad, about 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, also had passed away. SubhanAllah, the last 2 years I had gone through the agony of the loss of parents, both of them. It's not an easy experience, really. One of my brothers had my dad in his dream. He goes that I went to visit dad, and I was standing around the grave, and dad came out of the grave. I was scared. Dad, weren't you dead? He said that, yeah, I will go back. But then he asked me that, how are you? He says, Alhamdulillah, I'm fine, everything is good. But I tell you that the first night is very difficult. The first night, my brother who was narrating this, he was in tears. Because you know, when you experience something, when you dream about something, it has a different effect on you. The first night is very difficult. And I said to him that this is Hulul Muttala', that even Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam is crying upon his death. Before, Imam Hassan, when he was poisoned to death, they saw the Imam in tears. They say, Yabna Rasulallah, you are crying? The Imam says, I am crying of Hawlul Muttala'. That's the first night. Because the higher your position is, the greater your responsibility will be. Alright? These are the realities that we are going to face. The reality is not losing a couple of dollars. The reality is not that I lost the job or I failed in a subject, then it's the end of the world. No, it's not the end of the world. There is much more in life that I'm oblivious about it and I don't pay attention to it. Write your will, and in your will, write a piece of advice for your brothers, for your siblings. That is something that you wouldn't feel comfortable to tell them, not tell them in your will. And put it in an envelope, stick a tape in, and keep it somewhere. All right? And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prolong your life. A month later, 2 months, 6 months, a year later, you go, open the drawer, and open it, the envelope, read it. I have done this many times, subhanallah. What a feeling, man. What a feeling. The moment that you open the envelope, you're in tears. You know why? Yani sometimes even we handshake, because I was not supposed to offer this. See how generous God has been with me. That I was not supposed to be the one who opens this. Alhamdulillah. رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكُ. Oh God, return me to this world. I promise I'll be a better person. God says, okay, you open it yourself. You opened it. So, kalla is not for you yet. Yet. But let me see how many opportunities can you take. How many opportunities do you need? They tell me talk about hijab. By all means, come and inshallah, if I have time, I give you a lecture about psychology of the hijab. Hijab in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Quran. But sister, as a Muslim, you know there is hijab in Islam. You don't need much reasoning. You know why you find it difficult to practice it? Because lack of self-confidence. Because you are in a society that dominated by non-Muslims or non-practicing Muslims, and therefore you don't have confidence enough, you don't practice it. But if you know that at the end of the day, when I'm going to die and I'm going to be buried, those people, those friends at the school, uni and others, they're not going to be there to help me. So you don't care about the judgment of the rest of the world. You care about the judgment of the actual judge to whom you will be resurrected. It will be very easy. Now, do you see why I'm touching on this issue? If we really, everything that we want to do, if we measure it with my death, I really urge you, brothers and sisters, without making you depressed. Some people, they think talking about this and this approach, oh, Sheikh, come on, it's very depressing. It's very hazin, this topic. In the beginning, it is like this, but wallah, after a while, it will boost and it will jumpstart your spirituality. Believe me, it will jumpstart your spirituality. When you want to pray tomorrow morning, I wish you had not prayed your Isha prayer tonight, and I would had this talk, and then later on you do your Salat al-Isha tonight. Salat al-Muwadda'a, the Salat of the one who's gonna have the last Salat. Imagine that tonight is my last Salat. How am I gonna pray? Surely my Salat will be different. Okay? I have given this assignment to some of my students. Go out to your family members, those who seem not to be practicing Muslims, but still they give lip service to Islam. They're Muslims. Tell them that Haji, Ummi, Baba, whoever, inshallah, may God prolong your life. But if the doctors tell you that you are diagnosed with a disease, that you've got only a couple of months to live, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Those people that you see seem to be very stingy, mean and stingy, and they always say that I don't have money. They are looking for opportunities to give what they have. They give more because they say that, well, I know that I'm not going to be around 3 months long. What am I going to do with this? I don't. Better to give it with my hand. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was executing the will of somebody. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The man in his will, he had written that he had a store full of date. Ya Rasulallah, give it out for as charity, donation for the poor and needy people. And the Prophet, with the help of the companions, they were packing them and distributing them. Everything was packed as they were sweeping the floor of the store. At the corner, the Prophet found one date. The Messenger of God picked up that date, showed it to his companions, and said, when he was alive, if he had given that single date with his own hand, would have benefited him more than the entire this warehouse that we gave on his behalf. So it makes big difference between when I do dua, read dua kumail myself and send it for my Laylatul Qadr, or I wait until they read it for me later on. Big difference between when I give donation while I can, while I'm alive, and then when I write in my will that anything that I left behind, that definitely my death was confirmed, that definitely I didn't need it anymore, then give it for the sake of God. What virtue is in this? The virtue is that وَيُؤْثَرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلُوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Even though I needed it sort of still, I gave it for the sake of God. Then it's going to avail me. So writing the will, and every time you open it, these are practical experiences that you can experience, inshallah, yourself, and appreciate the blessing of life, the blessing of health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and may God give you more, so that you appreciate it. Yani you, every night that we sleep, why is it that it's makruh to, yani, to stay junub? You know what the wisdom behind it? Because there always is a possibility that you may not wake up. You don't want to die in that status. All right. Why is it that it is mustahab when you go to bed, to when you sleep, I read Ayatul Kursi, Mu'awwadhatain. Really read some dua or something, renew your shahadatain. I don't know if you know Shahadat al-Maut by heart or not. For my students in Sydney, from the young age at the school in madrasa, I really suggest if you haven't, if you don't practice it already, bring it as part of the curriculum for the kids. It's easier for the children to memorize it. To memorize Shahadat al-Maut, it's in our website. If you don't know it, you can get it from the that part of it. Also, most of it, you can find it in Ziyarat al-Yasin as well, for example. Huh? Get the kids to memorize it and yourself memorize it. The notion behind this is that when I go to bed, when I lie down, I'm sorry to be explicit with you, a boy came to me and he said that I'm suffering from the mortal disease of self-satisfaction and masturbation and things like that. Sheikh, how can I get out of this? I said, next time that you are lying down in bed, just think of this bed being your grave. And it's possible to be your grave. If you really know that this can possibly be your grave, as if you're going to behave like that. We're going to behave better, really. All right? You create a spiritual atmosphere for yourself by this dua, Quran, and things like that until you fall asleep. And when you fall asleep in the hand of angels, really. Alright, and angels will protect you. When we are asleep, it's just like you are putting your computer on the hibernation mode. It's always possible. It clearly Quran says that. And the fact is that Quran says that you and I are already dead. We don't know that we are dead. Let me share with you some of the ayat. With salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul will have a taste of death. Now, sorry, do you see? It's impossible to translate Quran correctly. Not that will. You check the translations. That's how they translate. I deliberately did not give the right translation. You check the translation. كل نفس. It says every soul will have a taste of death. No. Quran doesn't say those who have Arabic background. Quran says, ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. ذَائِقَ اسم الفاعل. Because nafs is مُؤَنَّس. ذَائِقَ, not ذَائِق. Alright? Now that I'm not tasting this drink. I am now tasting it. This is called أَنَا ذَائِق. I'm taster. Alright? Quran says, every living soul is tasting death. Yani every second, every microsecond, you and I are tasting death. You know how? Because it's just enough for this breath not to come out. In every inhale and outhale, I'm cutting the tree of my life. There's a very nice poem, an Iranian poet he has. He says, your breathing is like a saw that is cutting the tree of your life. So every year that you are celebrating your birthday, in fact, remember that you should be also commemorating your death. Because every year you are getting close and closer to your death. And if you say, oh, if that's the case, I don't want to cut the tree. All right, if you don't cut the tree, that means you don't want to breathe. You're going to have a shortcut to death. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Again. Another ayah in the Quran. Kullu shay'in halikun. Not sayahlak. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. Halik ism al-fa'il again. And now is perishing. Now is perishing. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to his prophet. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. إنك ميت not إنك ستموت إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون. God is even telling the prophet that your body already you are dead. Body dies. The soul doesn't die. Your body is already dying. Why? Because something that is definite to happen just like has already happened. You tell me that, Sheikh, can you send me an email tomorrow and answer this question? I say, done. I haven't even gone to my email. Done, yani, consider it done. So definitely it will be done. Quran therefore refers always to the issue of life after death as past tenses. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَ وَقَعَتْ Already happened, because it's definite to be happened. Alright? كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ Do you need more examples? I can spend the rest of the night give you quotations from the Quran. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ Whoever that is on the surface of this planet Earth is not that سَيَفْنِي فَانٍ يعني already is perished. فَانْ اسم الفاعل again. Now it's perishing. So the fact is that we think we are living. It's this temporary life that we have in this dunya. A good believer, a conscious believer, is the one who always lives in the hereafter. You go to work, we live in the hereafter. And with this notion, and inshallah I finish it here, with this notion all the time, brothers and sisters, you know, as I'm sitting here talking to you, you are sitting here kindly listening to me, we are at the same time living in our barzakh. We are at the same time building our reality in barzakh. Any time that you are offering your salat, praying, you are building your reality in your life in barzakh. God forbid, sinning also, we are building another personality in barzakh. So up to you, up to me, up to us, how we want to make ourselves. Whether we want to make ourselves full of noor, the noor can be made from and taken from here. On the day of or after our death, there are some people that there is darkness on the dhulumatun ba'duha fawqa ba'd. Idha akhraja yadahu lam yaka, even it's so dark, cannot see his hand. It's an expression of going astray, getting lost. Imagine, have you ever been on the ocean, traveled by ship? It's so scary in the middle of the ocean, so scary really, that you are in the middle of nowhere. And now imagine that there is no ship, even the Titanic is broken and you are in water, drowning. Darkness of the night, cloud after cloud, that cannot even see his hand. It's an expression of that, how much they are going to hell. And they turn around and say, any light? Any light? Surah Al-Hadid. Quran says, Iltamisu wara'akum. Farji'u wara'akum wa'altamisu nura. Look back, you have to get the nur from there. You had to get it from there. Where is back? The life of dunya. Yani the two rak'at salat that tomorrow morning you're going to pray, that will be nur for you in your barzakh. You miss it. That's how it works. Up to you. Inshallah, tonight we want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in honor of a very innocent girl, only 3 years old. Inshallah, I don't know if you've been to Syria. If not, inshallah, you can go. Situation getting, inshallah, better. Especially the reason that I chose it tonight, because she doesn't have many, if any, visitors these days and nights because of the situation in Syria at the moment. I'm talking about Ruqayya, brothers and sisters. A young girl that died exceptionally in a very different way than all other martyrs of Karbala. We had in Karbala martyrs as young as Ali al-Asghar or Abdullah al-Rabi', the infant of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yeah, definitely that's a big crime to kill an infant. But he was killed like others by sword, by spear, by arrows. But how did Ruqayya die, the daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Historians have mentioned that she was almost 3-4 years old in Karbala. Alright? Had already lost her mother, Umm Ishaq. And therefore, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein was both father and like a motherly figure for her as well. I don't know any of you has a daughter. Girls are very much attached to their dad. Especially if she's an orphan, doesn't have a mother. On the day of Ashura, in the afternoon, we see that scene that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes for the last farewell, Ruqayya salamullah alayha, she comes and she's pleading to dad not to go, because dad, already have lost my mother. But what has to happen, my dear. I have to go too. Zainab experienced the evening of Ashura. Ruqayya experienced the evening of Ashura and plundering the tents. Ruqayya also was, subhanAllah, this 3-year-old girl, 4-year-old girl, she was also handcuffed and was brought to Kufa as a captive of war. She was also in dungeon in Kufa. And time sometimes is a healer. Now more than a month has passed away. Tonight, if you want something, get it from Ruqayya. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بحق Ruqayya, Ya Sayyidati wa Mawlati. Another name that I've mentioned for Ruqayya is Fatima al-Sughra. Because Imam Hussein had a Fatima, apparently 12, 13 years old, and this one was younger, therefore Fatima al-Sughra. Although young in age, but great in personality, in her innocence. Ya Sayyidati wa Mawlati, inna tawajjahna wa stashwa'na biki ila Allah. Wa qaddamnaki bayna yaday hajatina, ya Ruqayya, ya bint al-Husayn. I just don't know what happened, that after almost a month of not knowing, seeing the head and the body of her father, when she was in Kharab-e-Sham, they had accommodated in Syria. Yazid al-La'in had accommodated Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet in a ruined and shabby place. That Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says that there was no shelter above us. That at night, we didn't have any proper accommodation to protect us against the cold of the weather in Syria. And daytime also, there was no shelter above us to protect us against the sun. Imagine the situation where they were living. And we are talking about a group of ladies, remember, that all had lost their dears. One night, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam narrates that my younger sister, Ruqayya, she woke up in the middle of the night. There was silence in Kharab-e-Sham. All of a sudden, she woke up and she started crying, asking for her dad. Ya Abata, Ya Abata. Remember, she has no mother, no father anymore. Sayyidina Zainab goes to her, hugging her knees. Ya Ruqayya, uskuti. Ruqayya, mahlal, mahlal. Be quiet. What happened? Ruqayya says that, Ammati, my dad was just here. I want my dad. No matter what they did, they couldn't calm the baby down. And everybody, because all the ladies also, now they see Ruqayya is crying, because of her cry, everybody started crying, wailing. Yazid al-La'in, he heard and he said, what's happening? They said, the daughter of Hussein is asking for her dad. La'natullah alayhi, he says, well, that's not difficult. Why don't you take his head for her? Ya Allah, Ya Allah, A'lam Allah ajuraka ya sahib al-zaman. A month has passed, the wound sort of healed. And now they saw a pallet is brought to the Kharab-e-Sham as a cover. She could not believe it's the end of her father, and therefore she stares around. She refused and said, I didn't ask Ammati for any food. I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat anything. I want my dad. But Ya Allah, it was until when they put the tray in front of her and the lid was removed, and she looks at the body at the head of her father. With her small hands, she just hugged the head. She started talking with the head. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Abata. Ya Abata, man akhdabaka bidamaik.
that who has just stained your beard with your blood. Ya abata manaita mani ala sagar sinni. Ya abata, who's made me orphan at this age? Ya abata man lil yateemata hatta takbur. Who's going to look after me, dad? She kept talking, wailing and crying. Until they notice the baby is quiet. Sayyidah Zainab, assuming that Ruqayya fell asleep, she goes to take her to bed, but ala la'natullah, Ruqayya had already died of the agony. Ala la'natullah.
Ala al-qawm al-zalimeen, wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu, ayya munqalabin yanqalibu. Assalamu alaikum.